This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday, churning through all the news of the day. We're going to get to some of this government shutdown stuff. We'll touch on that just a little bit. Going to get to some emails, Democrats protecting criminals. I'm ready to go to Cuba. All that and so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. So one final thing on this. We got this email on the Iran stuff. Jesse, Japan started in its part in World War II over natural resources. It attacked Pearl Harbor to prevent the United States from interfering with access to oil. China, the Strait of Hormuz, Iranian oil. I don't expect China would win a war with the United States, but losing didn't stop Japan. Okay, so this guy's worried. If we lock down the Strait of Hormuz, if we take control of this Iranian oil, is China going to be desperate enough to go to war? First, let's recap. The estimate is that China gets 90% of its oil from Iran. 90% Iran, right? You have to have oil. Every society has to have oil to function. If you would like an example of this, I already teased that I'll be talking about Cuba here in a few minutes. Did you wake up yesterday and check the headlines? In case you didn't, Cuba has no power, especially at night. I don't mean one little part of it. Like the whole place just goes dark. The oppressive communist government there is having trouble oppressing its citizens because their security cameras and stuff go out at night. There's no more power. Why? Because we cut Cuba off from Mexican oil and Venezuelan oil. Venezuela was shipping large quantities of oil to Cuba. We took over the government of Venezuela, installed someone loyal to us, and we said, okay, no more for you. Now, a regime that we have been at war with since the communists had their revolution and took over there is on the verge of collapse because they don't have any power. The whole world runs on oil. Every single country, there are no exceptions. Every country needs it. Okay, so back to Iran. China. Would China declare war? No. But probably if we flip the kill switch. You see, China gets all that oil from Iran. We take control of Iran if we do. Yeah, we still got quite a ways to go there. If we do, what would happen is we would still sell the oil to China. No. We want you to have it. Please take some oil. We would still sell it to them at market prices. Did you know we're currently selling Venezuelan oil to China at market prices? But what it does is it gives us authority over the kill switch. If China does something like invade Taiwan, it allows us to say, okay, beep, no more oil for you. Good luck. That brings a whole host of other problems. But I mentioned China, and I wanted to bring this up to you. China is on extremely shaky ground. This has been the case throughout the Cold War, and it's the case today. When we look at these communist dictatorships, we free peoples in America, we always seem to think because he's a dictator and because he murders his political opponents and arrests his political opponents. We always seem to think that he has more control than he actually does. We view them as being kind of all-powerful in their government. You know, the Xi Jinping, he is the ruler over all. Xi Jinping has been killing and arresting his generals and political rivals. That may sound like an all-powerful person. An all-powerful person doesn't have to kill his generals and political rivals. You do that when you're worried about losing power. Xi Jinping is losing power. He is nervous. They're always nervous. And this is one of those things that I always come back to this, but it's so much of these dirty communist organizations really are comparable to mafia organizations. If you're some guy trying to climb the ladder in the mob, you can kill the boss. You can. And maybe even get away with it for a while. No, I'll just kill the boss and then I'll take over. But you will be paranoid from that day forward, because you will always know, I killed the boss. I can be killed. You start playing that very dangerous game, it's hard to sleep well at night or have a bowl of spaghetti. It's just difficult. These leaders, like China is on very shaky ground. Trump has worked very hard, and to be honest, he's done a very good job at, I shouldn't say isolating them, because they can still operate, but putting us, again, in position to isolate them if we want. What we don't want is this. What we've never wanted is this. We have never wanted China to go after Taiwan and then us to have to step in militarily, because that's the two largest, most powerful military powers on Earth going at each other. And nobody knows where that goes from there. Look at where we're at with Iran, a much weaker country than us. We've wiped out their leadership and everything else, and still, we don't know where we go from here. Yeah, obviously, we have plans, but when are we leaving? I don't know. Hopefully soon. I don't know. That's with a weak country like Iran. We don't know what they're going to do, where they're going to go. What's a major war with China like? We would have no idea. It would be a very dangerous time. So what you want is you want to put your country in position where it doesn't have to make war if another country gets out of line. That, in a lot of ways, is kind of what we've done with China. Speaking of Cuba, Rubio is calling for new leadership. So there's this thing going on right now. I already mentioned Cuba's running out of power. You know, the dirtball Castro family's been running Cuba for a very long time. Well, they're losing control of it. You see, losing power is one of those things that guarantees a revolution. It just does. When people start starving, when the lights don't come on anymore, that's when your regime will lose power. Cuba's running out of power. We are courting new leaders, but here's the rub. They're all Castros. They don't all have the last name of Castro, but all the people in significant positions of power in Cuba, they're all going to be part of the Castro family. I'm told that Fidel Castro's grandson, Francis Martel told me this, I'm told that Fidel Castro's grandson is campaigning to be part of the next takeover, and he's doing so on Instagram. I haven't verified it. I don't spend a lot of time on Instagram, but that's the crazy world we live in now. Just like Iran, just like everywhere else, you have to find the right guy to take over. It looks like Cuba's going to fall soon. It does. It looks like it's going to fall. Trump has come out and basically said, we're going to control it. It'll be ours to control and do what we want. I just think we need a little help. That's where I come in. I'm ready to go undercover in Cuba. Chris, listen, you know about my skills as a covert operative. You understand that What? Do I want to go undercover or run it? Probably both. No, listen. I go undercover. I help move the revolution forward with my covert ways, moving in the shadows. And then when the Viva la Revolution, that's what it's Spanish, Chris, whenever that kicks off, then I step in and say, I will lead you as a new dictator, but a benevolent dictator. We're not going to have, it is a thing, Chris, we're not going to have elections per se, but I will treat the people of Cuba well. And we're going to have fancy Cuban resorts, and we're going to eat nachos and do all the other things that are very Cuban, if you will. And there'll be male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks for everybody. That's going to be one of my central platforms as the next Cuban dictator. If you want your T levels through the roof, I'll give that to the people. It's not just that the people will have tortillas. It's that they're going to have male vitality stacks from Chalk, natural herbal supplements, ready to jack their T levels up so they have the strength to rebuild a country that has been beaten down for so long. And don't think that the Cuban ladies are going to be left out. All those dimes need the energy, too, to cook and clean and do everything else. There are female vitality stacks for the Cuban ladies once I take over. Right now, it's really more of an American thing. But after I take over Cuba, it'll be for Cuba as well. You want a subscription? You should. You'll save money. CHOQ.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a St. Paddy's Day. So, speaking of St. Paddy's Day, the Irish president met with Donald Trump today. Here's how that went.
The story of...
Oh, wait, before I play it, just remember, the leaders of Western civilization are at war with Western civilization. They're not using bombs and bullets. They're using foreigners. The plan is to massively import loyal foreigners so they can loot and pillage their countries. The president of Ireland met with Donald Trump today, and here's what he said.
The story of Patrick's life serves as a
Never mind. This is on video. This wasn't during the Trump meeting. Listen to this. This is St. Patrick.
The story of Patrick's life serves as a reminder of the resilience and courage of migrants, the invaluable contributions that they have made and continue to make to the countries they now call home.
The story of St. Patrick is the story of migrants. These people are deeply, deeply evil. And they understand. American Democrats are the same. A lot of Republicans, too, like James Lankford of Oklahoma. They understand their path to staying in power forever doesn't mean delivering anything for you, the citizen. It means delivering more foreigners onto their shores. They simply bring the foreigner in, offer him all the welfare checks you can, legal protection, and that means they get to stay in power forever. Now, we have American politicians who stand up in front of the American people and say these things.
The majority of Americans across the country, regardless of political party, know that immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, wherever they're from, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country and make this country what it is today.
Why is TSA shutting down? Why are some airports going to close? Here's the deputy TSA administrator.
So at this point, we're fully stretched. And so, frankly, there's not much else we can do. Mm-hmm. As the weeks continue, if this continues, it's not hyperbole to suggest that we may have to quite literally shut down airports, particularly smaller ones, if call-out rates go up and we can't, a lot of these officers can't afford to come in.
TSA agents have now missed two paychecks because Democrats have shut down the government. Democrats have shut down the government because of deportations. It's a partial government shutdown, in case you're wondering why the whole thing isn't shut down. It only applies to things like Secret Service, TSA, things like that. It's all about deportations. The importation of foreigners and keeping foreigners here is so important to the Democrat Party, they're shutting down airports across the country to avoid having to send foreigners home. Whatever else is going on in the world at any given moment, remember, there is no other issue that supersedes that one. If we deport these people, we can and will save our country. If we bring in more of them, we are finished, no matter who wins elections. Jesse, brat versus hot dog is the subject headline. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I agree with you about ratios being everything. Putting a brat on a bun made for a hot dog is terrible. The key to a good bratwurst is a fatter bun, so the proper ratios stay intact. That's a very good point. He says his name is Kevin. You know what we did yesterday? No, I told you I was in the hospital. That's why I wasn't here. I'm fine. Again, it was for someone else, not me, but I had to be there. Ob, she made the Italian sausages I was telling you about. It's not complicated. It's not anything you can't do. You just take some Italian sausages you get at the store. Sorry, Chris. You put them in the crock pot. You just dump whatever your favorite marinara sauce is in there, and you just turn it on. Turn it on low for 4 or 5 hours. You come back and they're boiling and cooked. And then you just pull them out of there, throw them on a bun with some provolone cheese or mozzarella cheese, and then you munch them. Well, Ob made these yesterday at the house, and then we were going to take them to the hospital so this person could eat well and so I could eat well. And we dropped these sausage sandwiches on a bun, provolone cheese, and then did what? Wrapped them up in foil. Wrapped them up in foil, drove across town at the hospital, get to the hospital, unwrap this thing. It was so freaking melty and delicious. It's one of the great things I've ever eaten in my entire life. You want a relatively affordable, delicious meal that is super cake to make that everyone will love? I just gave it to you. Whatever your Italian sausages are, whatever your favorite marinara sauce is, a crock pot, buns, and some provolone cheese. What, Chris? What? Chris asked if I threw any peppers in there. No, but that's purely because of the kids. I totally would. I totally would. The boys are not big on peppers on a sandwich. They'll eat peppers separately. They're still stupid. They don't like peppers on a sandwich. Honestly, if it were me, I'd throw some Japs in there. I'd throw jalapenos in that bad boy and let them slow cook with the marinara. You know they'd get nice and spicy. It would get nice and spicy. The boys will do some spice. That might be a little too much for the boys, but some jalapenos, probably some onions, maybe some serrano peppers or something like that. Oh, you can do whatever you want with it. Again, it's crock pot cooking. What's better than crock pot cooking? You just chuck the crap in there and put the lid on and turn it on, and by the time you're done, you pull it out. Wrapped in foil. And these were wrapped in foil for 15, 20 minutes because we had to get back to the hospital. Oh, man, was it fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And the person we were visiting in the hospital had been delivered an oatmeal raisin cookie by the hospital staff with their lunch, and they didn't want it. So as soon as I was done with my sandwich, I asked if I could have it. Ob got upset, said that wasn't appropriate, but I ended up getting that cookie anyway, and it was delicious. Do some more emails next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, bringing you all the Irish tunes on a St. Patrick's Day, hoping you are going to be safe out there. Sorry, Grandpa Jesse has to step in here. I know you may go out there tonight and have one too many. Please get an Uber home. Get a cab home. Get a ride from somebody if you're going to have one too many. I'm certainly not going to judge you. I've had one too many about 10 million times in my life. No judgment at all coming from me. None at all. But, well, to put it to you this way, besides the people you might end up hurting on the road, one of my neighbor buddies, he got himself a DUI a couple years ago. And I've never had one, so I didn't fully realize it. His life was miserable for a year. It's so expensive. You can't imagine how much money he had to spend, the way they just wreck your life for it. And Uber is $15, man. $15, $20. You can't believe how cheap it is to get a ride home from somebody. Get a ride home. Or even better, do it at home. You know what's so overrated you discover as you're getting older? Going out. I think the game already started. Did the World Baseball Classic game already start, Chris? Crap, it did. Well, I'm going to watch some of it whenever I get home. Ob had texted me earlier, because America's in it, right? I want to see America win. Ob had texted me earlier, do we want to do anything for the game? And I said, yeah, I want to sit at home and watch the game. And she said, oh, good, me too. Sitting at home is friggin' wonderful. Have people over. Totally safe. Have some people over. Enjoy your St. Paddy's Day. Don't do something dumb. It's going to end your life for someone else's or ruin your life for even a short period of time. Be freaking smart, all right? Be smart. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to let it go now. Not going to bring it up again. Deaf woman is removed from Frontier flight for not listening. That's from Newsweek. You know, you can blame Frontier all you want, but she wasn't listening. What, Chris? I hardly would ever take the side of a corporation over an individual, but she clearly wasn't listening. If she's not listening, you got to get off the flight. And I heard about that one airline, speaking of flying, where, was it American or Delta? I forget which airline it is that now has announced that they'll remove you from the flight if you're listening to things on your phone without headphones. Don't discount how important that is. This last flight I was on, the one where I had to go out and do Adam Carolla's show in L.A. last week, on the way home, two people, older people, not that their age mattered, two seats ahead of me, had their phones on at full volume watching things last time. And the stewardess walked by them 1,000 times without saying a word. And I'm sitting there, my blood pressure's going up, and I can just hear Ob, even though she wasn't there, I can just hear her saying, please don't say anything. Please don't say anything. I was right on the verge, Chris, but I've mellowed out so much in my old age. Now, I've let it go. This is part of preparing to be a covert operative in Cuba. Hey, Jesse, I just wondered what behavior you would expect from Iran had we not attacked them and they would be able to fund a nuclear weapon. Do you think they would really have been in a more defensible position as we've been told? I'm guessing you already covered it. Okay, so let's talk about the reality of life, okay? Let's talk. Nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons have been around, obviously, since the 40s when we dropped a pair of them on the Empire of Japan. Then other countries started getting them. The Soviets, now other countries around the world have them. Not all of them, but Pakistan, Israel, China, you know, a bunch of countries have nuclear weapons. India, they have nuclear weapons. North Korea has nuclear weapons as well. Nuclear weapons are something that make people afraid, understandably so, that you have this weapon that can incinerate an entire city. In the blink of an eye is something that scares us. We have watched it happen to Japan, and you can watch endless movies that show you the fallout. That nuclear weapons are scary. This apocalyptic weapon that has the ability to wipe everything out. But here's the thing about nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons haven't been used since we dropped them on Japan. You know why they haven't been used? Because it's so scary that even the worst dictators in the world understand if you use that nuclear weapon on another country, then all the other countries around you are going to use their weapons on you, and they're going to wipe you out. You can't use one or you're going to die. It's a guarantee. Even major countries, even us, the biggest, most powerful country on earth, If we started launching nuclear weapons at China, China would start launching nuclear weapons at us, and it would guarantee both countries will be wiped out. So nobody has given in to the temptation to do so yet. Let's talk about North Korea. You know, it's not funny because of the things the people in that country go through, but I do smirk a little when people reference these historical injustices and then they say things like never again or never forget. What's going on inside the walls of Cuba, of North Korea right now is as sick and evil as anything that's ever gone on inside any country on the planet. Starvation, the torture, the gulags, it's awful. You listen to these stories from these North Korean defectors, it doesn't even seem real. It is a hell on earth. So, Gaddafi's gone. Saddam Hussein is gone. All these evil dictators in these second-tier countries are gone. Why is the Kim family still running North Korea? Because they have nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons are not an offensive weapon. Nuclear weapons are a defensive weapon. They make your country too scary to attack. And if I may say, you could argue the creation of nuclear weapons and the fact that other countries around the globe have them has done more for world peace than anything else. Because once you take possession of a nuclear weapon and have the ability to use it, nobody wants to attack you. Nobody does. The reason the Kim family still sits in power, destroying their own people, is because they possess nuclear weapons. Therefore, they're too scary for anybody to go in and do something about it. The mullahs who ran Iran, not so much anymore, being as how they're all getting killed. Why do they want a nuclear weapon? Well, it could be to use it on us, or could be to use it on Israel. They were out there every friggin' day, death to Israel, all that other stuff. But what nuclear weapons are a defensive weapon. It would have guaranteed that we would have never stepped in and did what we did if they had them. We stepped in before we got them, and now they're all dead. They wanted nuclear weapons probably for defense, not offense. Now, look, your mouth can always run you into trouble, right? It pays to not get up and chant death to America all the time because someone might end up taking you seriously. Something to keep in mind. Also keep in mind that identity theft has not stopped or slowed down. If anything, it's picking up. Why is identity theft picking up? Because more and more of our lives are done online. How much time do you spend on your phone every day? A lot, right? Everybody does. It's just one of those things we do. You spend time on your phone every single day, and your data is out there because of it. Your name, your address, your social security number, it's out there on the web. And as we speak, there are criminal organizations across the globe trying to get it. Did you know? You know the number is 20-25%? That's how many people have already been a victim of identity theft. It's coming for all of us. It's crazy to not have LifeLock. LifeLock will detect it, let you know. If they get you, they'll make you whole. It's bonkers to not protect yourself. That's basic protection. Join now. Save up to 40% off your first year with the promo code Jesse. LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse, or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow, and you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. As I said in the open, they have not changed who their real enemy is. They are still at war with him, and they tell you every chance they get.
I never considered running for office, but then I had some friends who were like me run for office, some other women kind of around my age. And when I saw them do it, and I realized that I was frustrated with some things about our state government, I thought it's not really fair to expect someone else to fix it, that maybe I should step up and try to make the change that I wanted to see. And by being in state government, I can see that we have a long way to go in really representing our community. It's not a very diverse group of leaders. We don't have people from many religious backgrounds. It's right. Mostly white, right. Mostly Christian, mostly older men. And
they tell you who they hate. Also, remember, when they massively bring in foreigners to pillage your country so they can stay in power, they offer them legal protection. That's why they all come over here and do this stuff.
This week, all but one of the next batch of fraud suspects in the Feeding Our Future case say they will plead guilty. This group of seven was led by Ikram Muhammad, one of the most notorious defendants in the entire $300 million Feeding Our Future fraud case. She allegedly recruited her husband, her mother, her sister, and two of her brothers to all take part in the fraud. In the trial of Amy Bach, the former executive director of Feeding Our Future, we learned that she was very close with Ikram, who worked at Feeding Our Future in addition to running meal sites and allegedly collecting kickbacks from many other participants. Bach texted her about slapping defamation lawsuits on state officials who began to suspect fraud. According to Ikram Muhammad's indictment, her group is accused of stealing at least $12 million.
They bring in foreigners, and then they help them set up fraud networks. Oh, and this, I wanted to play this for you. Don't think that the people who push this gay race communism all over the country and hate white people, don't think that they're not still after your children. We don't talk about that as much, but I'm going to play you something. It's an author of a children's book, and I want you to listen closely to her words. Maybe you have small children. They're after them. These are predators.
As authors of queer books for kids and teens, it's unfortunately something we have to think about a lot. When Penguin asked me what I wanted for my cover, I said I wanted it to be gay enough for queer kids and teens to clock it, but for homophobic parents to just think it's a friendship story. So I said, no holding hands, make my character look gay. And it was actually my cover artist's idea to have one of them looking at the other and this awesome flowers growing between them, like their crush that's forming. So what do you think? Would you guess this was a queer book?
These are predators after your children. Remember that. Jesse, what are your thoughts on militias? The Constitution states we have the right to form them. I think they're fantastic. I think you should have already formed one in your community. There's nothing unlawful about it at all. I think you should meet with friends and family members, and I think you should train. I think you should go to the range together. I think you should come up with a communication plan together. I think, and I know this stuff may sound advanced. It's not advanced at all, and there's all kinds of instruction out there. Basics, just the basics with you and your friends. That's a militia. What's the harm in it? What is the harm in it? Remember that you need a group. I don't care how bad of a dude you are. I don't care how much you can drive tacks at 1,000 meters with your weapon. You need a group. Do you have a group in a local group? I am sorry to admit, in this social media era, I know nobody wants to physically get with other human beings. I get that. Who in your physical area can you get with who, if a situation gets bad, can work with you, help you, and you can help them? And remember, when I say militia group, people automatically think some sort of rebel against the government group. No. I mean, you might have to aid the friggin' government. What if the daggone Chi-Coms invade or something like that? What if it, you never know. The government may reach out a bit, but we have an enemy. We need help. Your militia group serves your community, your people, protects your community. What's the harm in it? Maybe we have a Chinese EMP, wipes out the power grid. You know how quickly even your lovely little neighborhood would devolve into complete chaos and anarchy without power? How quickly the animals would take to the streets trying to hurt people? Sure would be nice to have a group ready, armed to protect the women and children in your area. I love militias. I think you should join one. Jesse, I gave up alcohol and ice cream for Lent. What should I order at the bar? There's no need for this stuff, okay? There's no need for this stuff. I ordered ice cream at a bar one time. I don't need to constantly be belittled by people, okay?
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Thank you, Chris. Jewish producer Chris said it was a bar and grill, not a bar. That's a very good point, Chris. People go there just to eat. And that's what I did as well. Shut up, Chris. That's why I got ice cream. Child predator granted parole just 27 years into a 355-year prison term in Newsom's, California. Communists will let criminals out of prison as fast as humanly possible so they can rape and murder and destabilize society. They have always been this way. They will always be this way. Virginia sheriff refuses to give the feds an illegal alien accused of groping 12 teenage girls. They get elected and they view their role as protecting criminals. Appeals court rules Trump administration can continue quickly deporting illegal migrants to third countries. There are still good things happening out there with deportations. Oh, look at this. Worst of the worst. ICE arrests lots of criminal illegals this weekend to the dismay of Democrats. We are still getting foreigners out of the country. It's never enough. It'll never be enough, but we are chopping away at it. Now, enjoy your St. Paddy's Day, but not too much, and I'll see you tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.